At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Morency. So as we were saying, the Winnipeg Jets were talking about Scheifele was a game-time decision on Sunday. Now they got off until Wednesday, so I would expect Scheifele to play, and I think Morrissey's probably going to be back as well, but we'll keep our eye on that. But it's beneficial for the Jets that they get a couple of days. They got a couple of days to prepare for this. 67-54 right now. Oklahoma City up on the Denver Nuggets. They've been leading all game. I guess the question is whether they're just going to blow them out and cover or not, but it's sitting right around the number. It's 12.5 in-game totals, 224.5, 67-54, 10 minutes left in the second half right now. Let's send any loose ends in hockey here to tie up. So, yeah, just with Edmonton, I want to say, Connor and Kim, I'll throw it to you, Connor, that if I'm the Vegas Golden Knights, I much would have rather had to deal with the L.A. Kings. Right, you're getting Connor McDavid, this guy, they're coming out, he's won the Four Nations, he lost the Stanley Cup last year. You know this guy's got to get a Stanley Cup at some point, him and Draisaitl. As long as they can get good enough goaltending, they can do enough and score four or five goals a game. I think they're going to beat Vegas. And then, like I said, I think they could beat Winnipeg or Dallas after. So I like Edmonton in here. But then Dallas and Winnipeg, what do you think about this one? Because like you said about Carolina being big favorites, Connor, Dallas are big favorites as well against the President's trophy winner here. The team with home ice and the Winnipeg Jets are plus 145 in the series. Dallas are minus 170.
I know. I think it's that the number's a little bit high. And we were just talking about, I think, Scheifele comes back here sooner than later, whether it's game one or not. And the Jets have home ice. And you mentioned, I think that when you talked about 2021, if I think they last time there, they lost to Vegas, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was Colorado. I have to double check that. But the last time the Jets, got out. And I mean, they got to be feeling good after everything that happened in that game seven, kind of being outplayed. Like, hey.
And think about it. Their goalie didn't play well, and they still won, guys. Like, if you're the Jets, they got to be thinking, listen, Hellebuck's going to start to make some saves on the road, too, guys. And then we're really going to get rolling.
He looked really, really good in that overtime. Like, some of the saves. Like, yeah, like, Hellebuck has that look in his eye now. Like, it's like, I'm going to be better. And to your point about Edmonton, Gabe, the thing that's scary about them is they're ramping up. And they, like, took the L.A. Kings out of everything they wanted to do in that series, right? At first, sure, they got a little bit lucky, but that's what they do. They came back in those games, and they never quit, and they could score at any time. And that's bad news for Vegas. Like, that's the whole thing. I think Edmonton understands, like, we could beat the Knights. Hell, Minnesota gave the Knights everything they could handle, and Edmonton's a hell of a lot better than Minnesota. So I'm on the Oilers in that series.
The Boston Celtics lose game one tonight, 108-105. And speaking of big numbers, the Celtics are like minus 750 favorites to win this series. Knicks, what, plus 500, plus 525, et cetera, depending on where you were betting it. Updated number right now after game one and the Knicks 108-105 victory. Boston Celtics, minus 300. New York Knicks are plus 240 in the series. The Cavaliers are minus 230 favorites over the Pacers. Pacers are plus 190. Oklahoma City are currently 12-1 favorites. The game's going on. Denver plus 700. Minnesota Timberwolves minus 180 against the Golden State Warriors. Warriors plus 150. And as we alluded to, the Celtics are currently minus 300 favorites after dropping game one. Connor Mack, what do you think about the NBA playoffs? Anything jump off the screen at you?
Yeah, how about these road teams coming to play, outright winning? We saw it again tonight. All these teams, a little bit with the Cavs, Pacers.
Yeah, Pacers yesterday.
Can play
yeah.
with the Cavs. Yeah, yes, they can flat play with them. They beat them consistently. Now, the Cavs shot it horrible at home. I think they play better. I think if you look to them a little bit, it's the first half. But this Pacer team is so deep. You know, they play 10 guys that they could play with this Cavs team. And I think it could be another one, even if the Cavs, you know, win their game two. But yeah,
out of those series, 60. Do you think the Pacers, like the Pacers would have a better chance of beating Cleveland probably than the Knicks beating Boston? But Boston plays with fire, Marantz. Yeah. They're up 20 points in that game. Didn't they set a record for missed threes? That's all they do. If they go cold from three, they just keep people in games. And that's a dangerous game that you're playing. Big time.
Dangerous.
Boston aren't as good as they were last year. No, they've gotten lazy.
What are they doing?
Yeah, like they've always taken threes, but now they've taken it to a new level. Like I said, 50, 55, 63-point shots a game, 73-point shots. They've taken it to a new level. They get beaten into paint all the time. And you figure, like, stylistically, like when you look at the Knicks players, you figure, yeah, they could match up with the Celtics like we saw them tonight. But they're also down by 20 at one point, and the Celtics generally own them. But I never thought the Celtics were getting out of the East, Connor. I kind of believe that, like, I thought the Pacers were the best dark horse. I thought the Knicks kind of were a dark horse, too. But I didn't like their matchup against Boston. But here we are right now. But I don't think Boston are even going to get back to the finals here. I think they rely on the three ball too much. They're lazy.
They are. They've got to. Tatum was a little bit better, but he still shot. What, he went 5 for 16. White was similar, 4 for 15. And Brown, 1 of 10. I mean, that's 45 threes, 46 threes between those three guys. Like, they need to get to the rim. Like, they gotta, like, just get to the rim and stop just sitting by the three-point line, because it's not always going to work. And even the Knicks team shot a lot of threes, and they were solid 17 to 34. Like, if OG has games like this, Knicks will be in it. Brunson was solid with 29. OG Anunoby, what do you have? 29 as well, I believe?
29.
27 or 29?
29. 29. One thing they with OG Anunoby, and I know him well from the Raptor days, he's a big-game player. I don't know if you remember, actually, in the bubble, he hit a three to beat the Boston Celtics in a game six at the buzzer.
I do remember that.
Like he's hit shots against the Celtics. OG's one of these dudes that he's always felt disrespected offensively, right? That's why he got pissed. He got upset in Toronto. They consistently made him like the fourth option all the time. Like, they looked at him like, oh, just do the tough things for us that you do. Yeah. And he was like, listen, I can shoot. Like, give me the ball. I can score too. And they were kind of hesitant about it. The Knicks are not. And you see, if you let the kid shoot, man, he can hit the threes under pressure. Like I said, he's a big game player, OG. Like, he just is. Like, he's kind of flaky in a regular season. Like, he's injured a lot, or he's out for personal reasons or whatnot. Yeah. But come playoff time, man, OG Anunoby balls. He's also one of the tougher dudes in the NBA. True. It's weird, too, because he's very nerdy. Like, he's not like a hip dude. Like, he's nerdy. What I mean? He's not like, he's in a video game. He's like a nerdy type of dude in real life. Like, he's not going to parties and stuff like that, this kid. But, like, you see him on the court, man. If someone messes with him, like, he's willing to throw, like, right away. He goes from 0 to 60 fast, OG. Big, big fan of Anunoby. Connor, great stuff as always, my man. Thanks for taking the time to be here. Where can people find you online?
Thanks for having me. I always love coming on and hanging out, chopping over, especially right now. I mean, NHL, NBA, playoffs doesn't get
great, great,
this.
Great game.
Check me out. Connor Mack picks anywhere. That's it. Head to Odd Shopper if you want to get my place. Thanks, boys.
Good stuff, Connor. There's Connor Mack with his George Kurtz is going to step up and join us. And It takes a lot for Kurtz to be in a good mood. His Yankees made the World Series last year. He's like, we're going to lose. But he finally had some success tonight. The New York Islanders won the NHL draft lottery. And they were actually only had a 3.5% chance of winning the lottery, and they won the lottery.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. I don't know what the hell's going on here with George Kurtz. We told Kurtz to reset his camera just to get a better shot. This is what we came back with here. This is George Kurtz right now. I've never seen that before. George Kurtz has some problems right now, evidently.
That is the best. He's getting bars and tone. That is awesome. It's just, what? I've never seen you right. Like, I've seen that on bad TV in the past, but wow, now... Wow, that's so
Kurtz
funny.
Was told to reset his mic and then his camera, and then just all hell broke loose after.
Now he's got a curtain going on. Who is this guy?
He's only done this like 3,000 times before.
I know this camera. Yeah, he does the old spin around.
I was going to say Kurt's going to be in a good mood about the Islanders winning the lottery, but I think his camera has upset him a little bit. But, you know, this is a wild stat. The Vancouver Canucks have had a terrible year. Their coach just quit on them. He didn't get fired. They offered him like one of the highest contracts in the league, and he left. Now Quinn Hughes is getting tired of the chaos all the time. They wanted Pettersson to stay in Vancouver and work out. He stayed for a week and just split for Sweden. And a bunch of crypto boys hacked the Vancouver Canucks Twitter account today for hours. And said, buy your crypto coins here. Vancouver Canucks approved. And the Canucks couldn't do anything about it for hours. I'm like, God, this is, and like someone said, this is just the icing on the cake for the Canucks season. But this is like amazing for the Canucks. They are the only team in NHL history that has never moved up in the draft before. Like, you know what I mean? You come into the draft with like a pick. And, you know, there's a chance, hey, you know, we're picking 10th, but who knows? Maybe we get lucky and, you know, we win, you know, we're picking 4th now suddenly or something. Not once in the history of the draft. That almost seems like impossible. Like I said last night, like the hockey gods must have not liked the Blues for whatever reason to make the Jets somehow win that game. I don't know. The hockey gods seem to hate the Vancouver Canucks. It is what it is. But the hockey gods smiled on George Kurtz's New York Islanders. As the New York Islanders have the number one pick in the 2025 NHL draft. The Islanders came in with the 10th best chance of winning the lottery today. They only had a 3.5% chance of winning the lottery, and they do. George Kurtz in the house with us. What's up, George?
You mentioned, right, makes that general manager job a little more interesting too, right? Because not only do you get to be with GM, but you got the number one pick coming up here.
Thank God it's not Lou here still, huh? He would have traded it for a few vets.
I should have protected the pick. I didn't think of that. No, thank God.
Lou, he'd be like, you know what? The Oilers, Darnell Nurse is available. We'll get Kane and Nurse and, like, you know. So they get the number one pick. All right, I'll put you in the hot seat. Who, the Islanders? They haven't had the number one pick many times before. Four times, Kurtz. 2009. Who do they take? This one's easy.
Tavares.
John Tavares. Okay. Mm-hmm. Year 2000, they had the number one pick in the draft. Terrible pick.
It was a bust. It's Komisarek or something like that.
Not Komisarek. That was used on the Canadians. Mm-hmm. Rick DiPietro, goalie.
Oh, yeah. DiPietro. That's amazing.
And Mike Milbury. That started the old band. Oh, you don't want to bring up DiPietro to an Islander fan.
Rick DiPietro at 2000. 1973, they had the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, that was part of them.
Yeah, and it got their franchise going, and the Islanders sucked. In 1972, they also had the number one pick in the draft. Billy Harris. Not Billy Smith, but Billy Harris, 1972. Dennis Potvin, one of the greatest players ever to play in the NHL, 1973.
So what he's saying
Rick
is they're
50-50. Rick DiPietro, complete bust. John Tavares, I guess he's a Hall of Famer. Tavares Hall of Famer. So
they're 50-50, right? They've hit two home runs, and Tavares is probably a single, you know. And then of Rick DiPietro, no, not so much.
Yeah,
I got to be honest. When we talk about like Great Islander players and stuff, Billy Harris's name doesn't come up a lot.
No,
that's more of an Islander fan.
Butch Goring, Mike Bossy, Brian Trotche, Dennis Potvin,
Bobby Nystrom,
Billy Smith, Chico Resch. You know, Billy Harris. You know what I mean?
He was a good role player. He was a decent role player for the Islanders. Listen, if you're, you have to be a fan of the Islanders to like Billy Harris. He's a single. I'm going to give him a single. Yeah, maybe it's an infield.
Bob Nystrom.
Well, Bob Nystrom.
Great hair. Bob Nystrom. So yeah, the Islanders get the number one pick. And Kurtz, big day for Islander and Islander fans today. So they get the number one pick, and it's announced today that they're scratching the All-Star game. So they were going to have the All-Star game in Long Island next year, but they finally decided, you know what, the All-Star game sucks. So the NHL is going to hold an international tournament event at UBS Arena in 2026 in place of the All-Star weekend. So basically, it's going to be like they're international exhibition games for the Olympics, essentially, right? They're going to be pre-Olympics. So I imagine, I don't know if there's going to be the four teams for the four nations, or maybe they'll, you know what I mean? Now the other team's going to have teams, so maybe they'll squeeze in six teams or something like that or whatever. I don't know we don't know what the official format's going to be, but I'll tell you what, Kurtz, this is your chance to go see some world-class players at least. And it's good for the teams and the countries because it gives them a chance to play a couple of games before the Olympics as well.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a fun little tournament, whatever they decide to do, however they're going to run this. I can tell you, the governor of New York sent Bettman a letter today saying, oh, you must promise the Islanders an all-star game in the future. Because apparently they are going to have all-star games.
Hockley? Yeah, tell her to shut up. You're getting the best players in the world. Shut up, Hockley.
Not the rest. Listen, from the lottery tonight, I don't care about the all-star. All right? It's very little New York. Take your little bit. You know, the first thing I thought of, by the way, is do you believe in conspiracy?
Only New York, the government complains about everything there, right, George? You know, like, seriously.
Like, about the infrastructure.
We're promised an all-star game. They're coming. Settle down, Katie. They're coming. Like, you know what I mean?
No one wants to go to the all-star game. Don't care.
It's probably going to tax them now. All right, tax you now, all your international players.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Denver Nuggets are hanging around. They're down by 10, a little under 4 minutes remaining in the third quarter of play. The Leafs won 5-4 tonight. And the New York Knicks, George Kurtz's New York Knicks, step up with a big win, 108-105. Over the Boston Celtics tonight, big night in New York. The Knicks win. The Islanders win the NHL draft lottery. And people are expecting them to take, although this isn't a Connor Bedard or a, you know, Macklin Celebrini type of draft. But Matthew Schaefer is a rock solid player, defenseman, plays for the Erie Otters. For the record, the Erie Otters last player that got drafted first overall was Connor McDavid. So the Erie Otters have produced some star players in the past. You got Matthew Schaefer there, but it should be noted, and Kurtz, I'm sure as you are aware, that James Hagans is actually a local prospect, plays for Boston College. It would be a little bit of a reach, though, to take him first overall. You can't just draft local because, but at the same point in time, he is a dynamic player. He's a forward. You could get the local fan base excited. There's no excitement about the Islanders, right? You know what I mean? You can get excited about Schaefer, but Hagans, intriguing right there, but he's projected to go fourth to Utah right now.
Yeah, Hankins is from, like, if you're in the Long Island area, he's from Hauppauge, which, maybe 30 minutes from me. It's between Scott Wetzel and I, pretty much right in the middle of us. I don't think they'll take, you should take Schaefer. He's the best prospect. He's the guy you got to take there. And defensemen are so hard to come by. And it's not like the Islanders are loaded with them either. Right, they don't have a true number one defender there. Romanoff is probably their best defensive defenseman, and he's more of a second liner, maybe a number two overall. Dobbs is your offensive guy, so Schaefer is the guy they should take. But as anybody who watches the Islanders know, watching them is like watching grass grow. It's boring hockey. They don't have any talent there, no skill. There's no skill for the Islanders there. That's why their power play is pathetic, right? So you'd like to take that top of
the player. You know who has skill. You know what? Skill. Misa has skill, and he's right there. This kid, that's all he does is skill.
He's not the best, right? He's not the best skater on the planet. He's the worker. So Tavares had to work on that too when he came into the NHL. So maybe there's that. But listen, you got the number one pick. You got to take the best player. And that best, it's not like the Islanders are, we're one player away from the Stanley Cup. They're many players away and many years away. So you take the best player and you build from there.
From what I understand, the San Jose Sharks are kind of locked in on what they want to do, and they're very happy with this. And they're going to take the Martone kid, Porter Martone, who plays for the Brampton Steelheads, and he's comparable to the Tkachuk brothers, essentially. He's just one of these players that just hits everything that moves. He can score. He can skate. His scouting report, excellent combination of skill, size, and power. Equally dangerous as a shooter and a passer. Not a typical power forward, has more skill than a typical power forward. Going on, like I said, for Porter Martone, and if you think about the San Jose Sharks guys, you got Macklin Celebrini, you've got Will Smith, now you bring in sort of a bruiser type of player. Because I know a lot of people are going to talk about Misa going to San Jose with a second pick, but I think it'll be Martone. I saw Craig Button talking about it earlier. And he said that basically Greer is locked in with this. That is going to be Martone because he likes they're building a team, right? Not, they've already got the skill. Now they want to get some toughness here, which leads right into perfectly for the Chicago Blackhawks guys, Michael Misa. If you're Connor Bedard, man, he's miserable there, right? And the Blackhawks took a different route. Like the Sharks said, all right, we got Celebrini. Let's just like go all young around him and grow up together. The Blackhawks said, all right, we got Bedard. Let's sign a bunch of veteran players. Corey Perry, what happened? Corey Perry got lit up and started hitting on people's wives at the team dinner, so whatever happened. Taylor Hall, right? Seth Jones was dying to get out of there. Like, they signed all these vets, and it didn't work. And it's not working. And the vets aren't there. Connor Bedard is miserable. I think you bring in Michael Misa here. That's like a dynamic player. This kid can score, too. Like, Bedard can set him up. Connor likes setting people up. I think it's a perfect fit, guys. Misa to the Chicago Blackhawks with the third pick.
Agreed. Wait, almost solves two problems, right? You get Bedard to play a little better, maybe make him a little happier, and you get that top wing you need. So, yes, 1,000% agree with you. They should take the top offensive player, a winger, to help Bedard out.
And as far as Connor Bedard is concerned, very surprising to find out that he declined an invitation to play for Team Canada at the World Championships.
Yeah, and Sidney Crosby's going. Wake up, kid.
That's McKinnon.
And Nate McKinnon.
Yeah.
And Marc-Andre Fleury.
Thank you.
And Macklin Celebrini.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Morenci. Denver Nuggets continue to sort of linger here. They've cut the lead to 5, 90-85 right now. In-game total, 231.5. I got the Nuggets plus 11 and over 229. So we're sort of on pace, but it could go one way or the other. All right, so we got you caught today with the NHL draft lottery. In other big news today, let's get a little bit into the National Football League, guys. I don't want to get political here, but President Trump was the one that announced it, along with the fact that he wants to reopen Alcatraz as well. In other breaking news, I think he wants to bring back Blockbuster and VHS cassettes. Like, yeah, man, make the video business great again, George. Bring back Blockbuster. That's going to be next with him.
I like Blockbuster.
This guy lives in the past, bro. Like, Alcatraz? Like, Alcatraz? What the hell are you talking about? Like,
Alcatraz has been closed since 1963. It's been 62 years.
And it closed then because it was run down, George. Like, you know what I mean?
But let's just say for giggles, they were going to do this. It would take 3-5 years before they can get that place up to par. It cost a gazillion dollars to do it.
Cost billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. So he announced that when poor Roger Goodell was standing next to him. And Goodell's just standing there like, he's thinking, dude, like I came to announce the draft, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and he starts going off about Venezuelans, Cam, and stuff. Goodell's just standing there like, what can you do? You know what I mean? Nothing. Yeah, so the draft, people wonder where the draft was going to be. So this year it was Green Bay. Next year it's Pittsburgh. And the following year they're going to the Mall of America. And they say they're going to get 1 million people there. They're a nice setting for a draft. I thought Buffalo would be in play for a draft because you're not going to give Buffalo a Super Bowl. All right, and Buffalo's a new stadium and stuff. But you figure Buffalo should get to
Green Bay. You give Buffalo, right? It's not going to be any colder in Buffalo than it will be in Green Bay.
That's what I'm saying.
They'll get it eventually.
You can't. And Buffalo's new stadium is an outdoor stadium, so they're not getting a Super Bowl ever. No. Right? I mean, that's why Cleveland. That's why teams go with the domes, right? So you can get WrestleMania and like, and Super Bowls. And in other news, Justin Tucker was released by the Baltimore Ravens. And, of course,
football decision,
of course. Yeah. Well, the football decision coincides with the fact that 16 different women have accused him of inappropriate behavior. And this tells me that they believe these women, George and Cam, but that they're like, you know what? Mm-hmm. We're not standing by him. Like, you know what I mean? Especially Baltimore. They've had problems in the past. They're kind of, you know, they're pretty sensitive to this stuff quicker now, but he's not as good of a kicker as he was. But my question is, people just laughed and said, oh, he'll be on the Cleveland Browns. So do you think that is Justin Tucker going to get signed? I'm not so sure he does, actually. No. He's got 16. He's got 16 different cases. It's not one or two. There's a lot.
If he could still kick, he'd be on Baltimore. If he was still Justin Tucker of all, he'd still be on Baltimore. He was terrible last year. He wasn't good at all. I don't think anyone signs him right
if
away.
60-yarders, they would be more on his side.
We'll forget about it.
I think I could see somebody in November, you know, whatever, to some great team. Kansas City, just for giggles here. The Chiefs, they lose, I'm not in football mode, I can't think of their kicker right
Butker.
Now. They lose Butker. All right, maybe they go down that road because they're desperate. All right, then I could see that, but I don't think going into the season, no one's going to want to bring on that kind of publicity.
The Toronto Argonauts, they don't mind controversy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They think Kelly, let's bring in Tucker. What a season.
Yeah, let's sign Justin Tucker. Yeah, tell him, too, if you miss, it doesn't matter. We still get a point. Just kick it through the end zone. Exactly. The Argos have Shedeur Sanders on their negotiation list. So, you know, that's the news from the NFL, basically, that Justin Tucker released by the Baltimore Ravens, and the draft will be going to Washington, D.C. in 2 years, 2 years' time. Speaking of the Cleveland Browns as well, the Cleveland Browns signed Deontay Johnson, who's making a quest to play for pretty much every team in the league and this division, actually, right? Like, is this like, right, yeah. He was on Pittsburgh, he was on Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I guess Cincinnati's the only team he hasn't been on right now, Kurtz. This is it. Like, now that he's on the Browns.
I mean, the guy has talent. He's got no head, right? He's just got no head, but he has talent. This guy could be a good receiver. You know, there's going to be some team that gives him a shot. If he doesn't work out in Cleveland, it'll be somebody else, some other team that gives him a shot here. I don't think it's going to be worth it this year. We don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be there. Is it going to be Flacco? Is it going to be Sanders? Whoever it might be. So probably not the best situation for him to restart his career.
I'm pulling for my guy, Kenny Pickett.
If it's Kenny Pickett, I mean, if we're betting here, I'm probably betting Joe Flacco to start week one. That's probably where I'm going with this.
Yes. But yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
It has to be Sanders eventually. I just don't know when.
Does it?
You figure Sanders is going to beat out Dylan Gabriel. So let's say Sanders starts out like fourth on the depth chart. So Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and then Shedeur Sanders.
What's going on with Deshaun Watson? What is he?
Well, he's another one. You notice the Browns are acting like we all forgot about it. Like no one, like it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Like it's like, oh yeah, like, you know, he's still, you know what I mean? Oh well, you got rid of him. It's like, no, you didn't. Like you still owe him $200 million or whatever it is. You guaranteed him $250 million, so you got to pay him either way. And no one's going to trade for him. I don't know. He says he's ready to play, Cam. Deshaun Watson's posting videos of him working out and stuff, but
yeah, we'll see.
I don't know why they drafted two running backs and two quarterbacks. They're Cleveland Browns. They're idiots.
What did
they really are?
They said, we know we made a mistake with him. Sounds like to me he ain't starting for them again. I'd be surprised if he starts. But here's the thing.
All right,
Flacco might be a veteran, but let's give Kenny Pickett a little bit of credit. What? Who?
Joe Flacco's terrible. I can't believe he's their quarterback.
My point being is, if I look at all the guys now, I think Kenny Pickett could be the guy. Like, I know he played for Philadelphia and they're a better team, but the guy's a grinder. They got a horrible quarterback.
No upside. I mean, Flacco sucks.
No, it's true. If you can't beat Joe Flacco up for the job, like, what are you? Like, Flacco's like 41 years old, willingly would retire tomorrow. He's like, all right, fine.
How are they going to play? Oh, you don't. You don't have enough reps for all these guys. It's too many quarterbacks.
I know.
That's going to hurt. That could hurt.
What are you going to have? 6 hour practices? Exactly. 6 hour. You're going to be up all day with the quarterbacks? Like, you know what I mean?
Like, drafting Dylan Gabriel is just absolutely stupid. Like, that guy's got no chance to be. Like, it's just, I don't know what the Browns are doing, Gabe. They're just getting stupider by the year. Unreal.
No, there's no room for all of them on the team. Like, so you drafted somebody you're not going to be able to keep. Like, I don't like what you know what I mean? We're gonna have four quarterbacks in a season and none of them are great. I don't know. It's like the Colts drafting Riley Leonard.
I guess Deshaun Watson could go to the practice squad. You could bury him there. No one's picking up the contract.
What if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play Pittsburgh Steelers to Deshaun Watson?
Wow.
I think if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, they're going to get Cousins or Derek Carr. Carr wants out of New Orleans. I think they'll go there. I don't think they're going to Deshaun Watson. Can't. But, how would that work? I mean, when you trade
somebody. They did sign Michael Vick in the past.
That gets accelerated. I'm just saying. They did. But that contract would kill Cleveland, wouldn't it? The contract being accelerated, all that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you were, and I don't think Cleveland want to help out a division rival, but if you're a team, I would tell the Browns, listen, if I needed a quarterback and I could live with the little bad publicity for a day or two, we've been signing Deshaun, I would tell him, you guys are paying. You already paid him. Right? You already paid him. Like, I would offer Deshaun Watson like $2 million a year type thing. Like, you know what I mean? I would literally lowball the hell out of him. And I'd say, dude, you just got $250 million guaranteed. We don't even know if you can still play. Like, I don't know, like $4 million? Like, Winston got $4 million a year? Is what, you know, what's Watson worth now? Four? I'm being serious.
That's a lot of bank.
Like you're doing him a favor. Tell me that. We're going to get $2 million. Prove yourself.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Monday Night Meltdown continues. This is Sports Rage. I'm Morency. You know, it's a 12-point game right now. Oklahoma City sort of right around the point spread. They're up by 12, 100-88. In-game total, 232.5. There's still 9 minutes left in the game, 99-88 or 100-88. Right now, they just hit a free throw. So we'll keep our eye on this game. Denver just responded with a quick bucket. So I do have a little bit more on the over, but I also have Denver plus 11. I'm just sort of cheering for the over, and then I'll hope for the best. Pretty good night so far tonight. We were on the Knicks game to go over. We won by a half a point because the game went to overtime. We still only won by half a point. We were on the Toronto Maple Leafs to win the game tonight. I took the Dodgers to win tonight. Dodgers won. Ohtani went deep, and he's starting to rack up some home runs right now. So Major League Baseball, I've been betting Dodger games, and, you know, I've got my eye on things still, you know, but I've been so into the playoffs. I'm really into the MLS. I went to the Whitecaps game again over the weekend, and they won again. They played their backups. I got to the game. I didn't know they were playing their backups. And I get there, I'm like, oh, God. And I'm like, you know what? They're still going to win. And they did. They won 2-1.
That's amazing. With all the soccer they played, even with backups.
It was
stuff.
Their 10th game in 4 days, Cam. They had to rest some of their guys. Like, you know what I mean?
That's craziness. And they still won. Like, that's just something special going on there. That's hard to do. Very hard.
Yeah, they played 14 games now. They're, what are they? They're 12-1-2.
That is nuts.
They've lost once. They have two draws and 12 wins. And the game they lost was the weekend that Team Canada played and U.S. played against each other in that league, whatever, that League Nations thing. It was the international window week, and the Whitecaps actually are good that they have, like, all their team pretty much plays for a national team. They got guys on the Uruguay team, the Japan team, the Paraguayan team, the American team, the Canadian team. So the Whitecaps really didn't have anybody, and they did lose. They lost one game. I was at that game. It's the only game they've lost all year. It's pretty crazy. They've lost one game in, like, their last 18. They're undefeated in 10, but in the last 18 games, they've lost once only throughout all international play.
That's crazy.
Their big championship game is June 1st in Mexico City. The Seattle Mariners and the Oakland Athletics are tied at 4 right now, guys. The total was 9 in this game. I looked at it. I liked it. I'm telling you what, Seattle hit the baseball now. I don't know if you bet this game, Cam. 4-4 right now. It's a pick 'em. We're in the top of the sixth inning. In-game total is 11.5. What do you think about this game, Kurtz? Any action on this for you? I'm thinking about getting in on Seattle here.
I didn't touch the game itself, Hunter, judge these games. Miller hasn't pitched all that well for Seattle. Severino's been solid here, but I did take the over. All right, it's almost an automatic. I'm taking the over in Sacramento. Until they move it to double digits pregame, I'm going to keep betting the over in these A's games. For the most part, they have gone over. 11.5, we're going to go back in on 4 more runs here. What are we, in the sixth? Mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of interested in that, too. But both bullpens are solid, even though Miller gave up that grand slam to Miami over the weekend, which did not.
Let's see if it dips. If it dips. Get through this inning at 4-4 here. Maybe I'll jump back in here.
I got to be honest, too. The Mets were down one run, and the books were offering like a plus 172. Like, it's like, what? It's a first
They're
inning, for God's
now.
Sake. I know. That's like I'm saying. It's like, wow, that was they pasted like a real like danger line early in that game, and they've scored 5 unanswered. They're playing well.
So looking at the updated money market watch right now, we talk about the Detroit Tigers, guys. This team just keeps winning. You got to give them credit. A robust 13-3 at home. The Detroit Tigers on the season, 22-13. And you know what? We talked about it. What's crazy is, remember, the Tigers, it wasn't easy. They had to open up their season against the Dodgers in L.A., and it was the Dodgers' like season, their home opener after they played the 2 games in Japan, and they got swept. And so, in other words, they're 22-10 in their last 32 games, the Detroit Tigers right now, playing some really good baseball. Cleveland just keep doing their thing, but Detroit are up $545 on the season. Cleveland are up $561. Kansas City are now up $377. Minnesota burn money. They're down $772. And the Chicago White Sox are down $807, $100 better. Down $807. Or you'd be up $807 betting against them. Kurtz's New York Yankees. How do you feel about the Yankees, Kurtz? Sort of evening out a little bit now, huh?
You know, if you take away, I know sometimes it annoys me when people say this, but if you take away Max Fried and his starts out of the Yankee record, they're a well below 500 team. I mean, they're having all sorts of issues here. They have injuries up the wazoo. Like so many teams, it's the top 3 guys of a lineup. You get through that, Yankees aren't going to score any runs. All right, you can't judge Grisham. They're relying on Trent Grisham. That lets you know about the Yankees right now. They're relying on Trent Grisham to hit here. And Goldschmidt's having a very good season. But outside of that, not looking too good. And not starting pitching. You don't have a 4-5 starter, right? Carrasco and Will Warren? Ain't happening. And we don't even know what you're going to get out of Clark Schmidt here. The Yankees are in some trouble. They're lucky the American League East as a whole is not very good this season.
Everybody,
you know what's crazy? Every team in the American League East has lost money if you're betting on them. The Yankees are down $233 on the season. The Red Sox are down $357. The Rays, you're down $173. If you bet on every Blue Jay game, you're down $209. And Baltimore, minus $801 on the season so far. In the West, Seattle are up $452. They're starting to win and hit the baseball. The Athletics, on pace right now, starting to put some wins together. And now they're starting to get on pace to go over our season win total, as we had that debate a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
19-16 coming into tonight.
Don't panic, George. Everything's going to be okay.
Poke them up.
You know what's weird with the A's? They're 13-7 on the road. They're 6-9 at home. Like, they're winning. They're getting. They win road games. Bizarre.
And that is strange because they should be able to hit at home, right? They've got all those big bruisers. They should be fine at home. Yeah. So, but hey, that could be a good thing, right? Maybe they'll play better as the season goes along. Maybe they just hate the Anemones at home.
They're pretty good, the Athletics, though. I think, like I said, I like their season win total of the over. And I'll tell you what, this is interesting. The Athletics are 12-5 against the American League. They're 7-11 against the National League, so they're winning against American League teams. That's pretty strange. They have a 12-5 record. That's pretty impressive, and could help like when tiebreakers a little bit down the road, right? If they have a better record, like dare I say, guys, the Athletics are flirting with a playoff spot.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're into the home stretch here right now. 104 to 95. Nikola Jokic just got nailed with a flagrant foul, so there's a technical shot coming up here, and Dort makes the shot. So we've got a 10-point game with a little under 7 minutes left. Jokic, 26 points, five fouls right now, including that that flagrant. All right, so let's get to tomorrow's picks. We got two games in the National Hockey League tomorrow night, and then finally it sort of starts to pick up a little bit. Two games again on Wednesday. Kurtz, I'll throw it to you first here. Carolina Hurricanes at the Washington Capitals. Capitals are plus 105. Hurricanes are minus 125. Over-under's 5.5. Who are you taking in game one?
I'm going to go Washington. They're at home. I want to take the under, but I'm done with unders here in the NHL playoffs here. But I do lean towards the under plus money as well here. I'm not going to take the over at minus 122. But I'm going to give Washington the game one win here. I think the series is going seven.
Cam, what's your pick tomorrow, Carolina or Washington?
I'm going to take Carolina in this spot. I'll lay a quarter with Carolina. I think they can jump on them on the road. I believe in this team. So, yeah, I know it's interesting to get the home dog with Washington plus 105, but I like the Canes. Give me the visiting team.
I think it's one of these situations where they're probably going to split here, right? So, you know, I think Carolina's going to win the series. I'll take Carolina in game one, and if they lose, I'll take them in game two again. And or maybe I'll take Washington in game two if Carolina wins game one. But I could see a split coming here. But I do have Carolina winning the series. George, who do you have winning the series?
I got Carolina in seven. All right. I just think I've been down on the Capitals all season long. They're a little overrated here. Apparently the books think so as well. Carolina in seven.
Edmonton Oilers plus 115 tomorrow in Vegas, minus 135. We got an even six here, but you always say that you always get the half goal. They always add the half
never
no matter what.
Never.
So you got a 6.5, right?
I got 6.5.
That's
plus money.
You can do alt line. You can do alt line, bankers, but
I know. And it doesn't matter. It's Edmonton I'm going over. Always do. I assume it's going to be Calvin Picard in net, and I certainly don't trust him. Aiden Hill hasn't played all that great either. So that's going to be my favorite bet of the night. And I'll probably have some props as well with Draisaitl to score an anytime goal. He always does. So I'm going to have I'm going with Vegas to win game one at home. It's another series. I think it's going to go six. I have Vegas in six, Vegas tomorrow night, and the over.
Wow. All right. I'm on the Edmonton Oilers to win the series. Cam, what's your pick?
Me too. I'm on Edmonton in game one. I think they're going to take care of the momentum. I like both road teams, surprisingly, tomorrow. Oilers in seven in the series, by the way. That's my pick.
And then Kurtz, Panthers and Leafs, game two on Wednesday. I don't think Stolarz is going to play. I think he's got a concussion. He got hit in the head, then he threw up after. So I don't think it's a coincidence he threw up, that he was just sick. I mean, when you have a concussion, you get sick. So I think he's got a concussion. Let's say he's out for a week, maybe 10 days type of deal, right? I think Joseph Wall now comes in, and that's my guess. I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to go on record and say that's what I think is going to happen here. What about game two here? Leafs are plus 110, Panthers are minus 130.
I agree with you about Wall. I don't think he plays Wednesday either. Everything you said, I agree. I think he'll be out about a week. So with concussions are iffy, we never know. Although it's amazing, though, in the playoffs, all of a sudden you get cleared a little quicker. You know, so maybe he does come back here. That being said, Toronto, it was a fun game tonight. Enjoyed it. I don't see them winning both games against Florida. I'm going to take Florida, and I'm going over. It's 5.5. I mean, I'm crushing it. Over, no, way over. It's been probably my favorite bet that we've talked about so far tonight. Plus 112 on the over 5.5? Absolutely.
All right, Cam is has to deal with a deviated septum. So we wish you the best of luck, Cam. You're going to be gone.
Thanks, buddy.
For a couple of days. You'll be fine. And on the plus side, you'll be all doped up when you get to leave the hospital. You're just going to have a black eye and a sore nose for a week or so or whatnot. But so what's your pick for Wednesday, game two, Leafs and Panthers?
You're right, Gabe. Get everything done before football season on the surgery list. I like the Leafs. Don't love them. It's kind of a heart bet. They held on tonight by the skin of their teeth. But for them to be in this one, I think they got to win two. It's totally a heart bet. Florida probably got a lot of momentum by almost coming back and winning. But I'll take the Leafs plus 110, please. Homer bet.
Kurtz, Winnipeg Jets. I think they're going to get Shifley back. He was a game-time decision on Sunday. Didn't play. He's been practicing and skating with them. He's real close to coming back. I can't speak for Morrissey yet. What's your pick for Dallas and Winnipeg series?
Dallas right now. Well, I like to know if they're going to get Robertson and or Heiskanen back as well, right? DeBoer said they're both coming back. He didn't say when, though. Right. So, but I'm taking Dallas. I think they're the best team that's left out west.
All right. No love for the Winnipeg Jets.
None.
108-100. 5.5 left. So everybody enjoy the ending of this game. Let's hopefully we can cover and get this game over to number. We'll see on the Twisted Tuesday. Other than that, you're on your own later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.